Today's scripture reading is a gospel text, but I'm going to read a more interpretive or paraphrase take on Luke 21, verses 25 through 36. So as always, you're welcome to open your Bible to that passage. You won't be able to follow directly along. This is more of a dramatic reading. But once again, if you'd like to follow along with today's focus text, it is Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. "Look up," said Jesus, "and you will see signs in the sun and the moon and the stars." "Listen up," says Jesus, "and you will hear the roaring of the sea and the crashing of the waves and the distress of peoples on earth confused by what is happening." "Look around," said Jesus, "and you will see people fainting and trembling with fear at all that is coming upon the world and at the shaking of the powers of the heavens." "Now straighten up," said Jesus, "and lift up your heads, for when all these things begin to happen, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, coming in power, coming in glory, and you will know that your redemption, too, is coming close." Then Jesus told them a parable story. "Look at the fig tree," he said. "Look at any tree, for that matter. When you see the leaves come out, you know that summer is near. In the very same way, when you see the things that I have just described, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Trust me, this generation will not come to an end until everything I have described takes place. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not my words, not ever. Now look at yourselves. Watch that you don't get bogged down with bad choices and hard living, and all that goes with being carried away with what this world has to offer. For everything that I said will happen indeed to everyone on earth. And if your attention is fixed on your own pleasure, then it will catch you out with a sudden snap like a rat in a trap. But if you stay alert and pay attention and pray, then you will find the strength to escape all that will happen. And you will stand at last before the Son of Man." Amen. Keep your heads up. That's where you find fascinating things happening, right? Keep your head up, you're going to see something amazing. In fact, just last year, in August of 2017, many of you in this room had your heads up. I don't remember the exact date, but around midday or early afternoon or mid-afternoon, you put on some really, really thick glasses, and you looked up at the sky because there was a full solar eclipse. Well, for us, it was about, I think, 99.9. You had to travel about 45 minutes south to get the total full solar eclipse. But some of you looked up, and it was an amazing spectacle, one that all the news stations were paying attention to and filming. I tell you, never have so many Americans had their gaze upwards, I can imagine. For 2.5 minutes, we all looked up from our phones. We all looked up from our TVs and our busy work to look at the sky to see what was happening. We'll see amazing things if we keep our heads up. My girls have learned that, by the way. They've learned they need to keep their heads up if they want to see something exciting. Oftentimes, when we're driving to daycare or back or to church and back, Macy will say, "Dad, look, mountains." It's an important reminder to me not to take for granted living in this beautiful city. She's fascinated every time she sees them. They, of course, get excited about seeing airplanes in the sky. "Is that an airplane way up there? Why can't I hear it?" Well, because it's 5 miles up. You won't be able to hear much. They're really fascinated to see the moon during the daytime. Seems backwards. You see the moon at night, that's what you're supposed to see, but when you see the moon during the daytime, well, that's amazing. So they're always keeping their head up to see if they can see a moon when the sun is out also. Of course, nowadays, they're keeping their eye out for Christmas lights. When we're driving somewhere, they'll say, "Dad, there's Christmas lights," or "Mom, there's Christmas lights." Soon, we'll probably head out and just take trips solely to look at Christmas lights. Maybe a little soon now, but maybe in the next few days we'll start to see even more. Sometimes we go out on trips And Maggie will pay attention to the stoplights. She'll say, "Dad, you're supposed to slow down when you come to a yellow light, not speed up." She's already a better driver than me, and she's 5 years old. We'll see amazing things if we keep our heads up. Now, sometimes when we take long trips, like for instance after Christmas when we go to see family in Kentucky and Tennessee, our girls will be honed in on a movie on a tablet because, quite frankly, that's one of the only ways you can get through an 8 or 9 hour trip, to have a tablet to allow your 2 and 5 year old to watch a movie. But sometimes there's something they need to see and look up at, and we say, "Girls, look over there out the window," or "Girls, look over there," and they don't see it because their head's down and they're focusing on the movies. And it's at those times when we say, "Oh, should we really have them watching these movies when there's so much going on outside, when there's so much going on around them? Is it really good of us to keep them looking down?" Sometimes coaches will tell their teams, "Don't look at the scoreboard. Just play hard," right? Don't worry about what the score is. Just keep playing hard. Now, it's fascinating because a coach might say that no matter whether or not the team is doing well or not. A coach might say, "Don't look at the scoreboard when you're up by 30 points because you might get arrogant, you might get cocky, you might give up, you might stop playing, and all of a sudden the other team will come back because you thought you had it in the bag." And then in the same way, a coach might tell their team if they're down by 30, "Don't look at the scoreboard because we don't want that reminder that we're losing. We don't want that reminder that it seems like nothing's going well. So just play hard, forget about the score, give your best. Keep your head up." The question is, do we only keep our head up and focus on that which is exciting or positive? Or do we only keep our head up and focus on that which is negative or distressing? Advent is truly about keeping our heads up, looking upwards, looking forward, looking up, acknowledging on one hand that God's work is not done in the world, and that's apparent at times. The Advent season, especially a season of hope, is not asking us to say everything's great, we've got nothing to worry about, it's Christmas time, there is nothing to be sad about or angry about or fearful about. No, Advent actually tells us, no, that's still going on because Christ's work is not done in the world. There is still reconciliation to be had. There is still peace to be had. There is still love and joy that we must find. And in the same way, Advent is also about, despite this reality, keeping our heads up and acknowledging that the kingdom of heaven is near. It's almost here. We can reach out and grab it. It's bursting forth around us. So on one hand, there's distress, there's anxiety, there's fear, there's depression. On the other hand, the kingdom of God is near. And in this Advent season leading up to Christmas, we are asked to hold both of those truths in attention. We've still got work to do, but the kingdom of heaven is near. In many ways, Jesus is having a pep talk like a coach with some of his followers in this passage that we heard. And in many ways, Jesus says, keep your head up. Keep your eye, though, on the fig tree. Keep your eye on the fig tree. If you want to know what's about to play out, if you want to know what's playing out around us, look at the fig tree as the ultimate example of what's about to happen. Now, that's not the only thing he says to look up at. He says, if you look up, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. He said, if you look across the sea, you'll see a roaring chaos across the sea. This is a special kind of literature that Jesus is tapping into, a kind of saying called apocalyptic literature, which we studied about on Wednesday nights just a couple of months ago. But Jesus is using dramatic images to remind us that there is dramatic chaos in the world around us. When Jesus says, on the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea, you might say, what does the ocean and the sea have to do with what's going on around us? Well, in that time, the ocean, the sea, a violent sea, was an apocalyptic image of chaos. And so when Jesus mentions the sea, he's saying, yeah, there's chaos in the world around us, but it's at that time that we'll see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Jesus says, everywhere you look, there's going to be chaotic events. Everywhere you look in this world, things are going to seem out of control. And that's true today. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Some might say it's getting worse. That could be up for debate. It could be worse, could be better. I don't know. The point is, there's still chaos in the world around us. But know that even with this chaos, we remain on the lookout. We don't put our heads down and put our heads in the sand because there is chaos and fear and anxiety and violence around us. We need to know it's there. Jesus says, keep your head up. He goes on to say, think about this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself that summer is near. Now, this is fascinating. Because for this apocalyptic image, Jesus is using an image of blooming, of coming to life. Jesus is using an image of fruit and blooms to tell us about what's coming. When you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. If you've ever seen a movie or read a book on the end of the world, how many of them do you know about that has blooms and fruits sprouting from the trees? No, they're about fires and earthquakes and destruction and nuclear war and world leaders that destroy whole nations. You know those movies I'm talking about, and they're still being made. But Jesus says, no, look to the fig tree. It blooms when the cold weather is still here. Even when it's gray and gloomy, look to the fig tree, and those blooms show that summer is on the way. He's saying, don't focus exclusively on the destruction or that which hasn't come yet. Know that the kingdom of God is on the way. Know that the light is breaking in. You ask somebody why Christmas is celebrated on December 25th, he'll probably get an answer that's probably somehow grounded in truth, that we celebrate Christmas on December 25th because a long time ago, whoever created this Christian calendar decided to place it right alongside an ancient pagan festival known as Saturnalia. Okay? That's the answer you're probably going to get. There may be some truth to that. However, there is some theory and some thought that December 25th is not either a random date, because we don't know exactly the day that Jesus was born, but it may not be such a random date that was placed on the calendar, nor is it necessarily meant to coincide with and to co-opt a pagan holiday. It comes around the winter solstice, the darkest days of our year. And so for the early Christians, or those who instituted the holiday of Christmas, where we celebrate Christ's coming, they may have been very intentional about putting the birth of Christ at a time when the days begin to get brighter. When Jesus is born, you will only see brighter days. When Jesus is born, the days will only get longer. That's what we have to look forward to. Yeah, it seems like the days are getting darker, depending on which world event you're checking out, depending on what's going on in your life. You may say, yeah, my days are getting darker. And during this Advent season, guess what? The days are getting darker. The sun's going down a little earlier each day. The sun's rising a little later each day. But when we celebrate Christmas on that eve of December 24th, from that day forward, every day will get brighter. So it's very possible that somewhere long, long ago, when someone set up our calendar, they said, what day should we celebrate the birth of Christ? They may have said, let's make this special. Let's do it at a time when the days are getting brighter, and it will be a reminder that when Jesus enters the world, the light has come, and the light is overtaking the darkness. Advent makes us aware that the light of the world is near. Jesus says to be on the watch. And so that's what we're doing this month, acknowledging that there's darkness around us. But it takes work, it takes focus, and it takes preparation. And so Jesus has these words for us. Jesus says, keep your head up, look at the fig tree. The days are dark, the days are cold and gloomy. Not today, and I'm going to come back to that momentarily. Winter is in full effect. The cold may be the least of your chaos, though. You may be caught in the middle of a violent sea, like Jesus talked about earlier in the passage. You may see that chaos around you. It may be creeping up into your home or your place of work or your school or your family. That darkness may be apparent, and you should acknowledge it, and it should be a reminder to you that Jesus is still working in this world and in your life. The fig tree isn't full yet. Jesus doesn't say, look at the fig tree when it's completely bloomed in the middle of summer. Jesus says, look at the fig tree that's sprouting the leaves and the fruit even in this wintry time. And so you can know that despite your chaos and your gloom in these dreary days, the fig tree is sprouting. There's a fig tree sprouting in your life, and you need to be on the lookout for it. But you need to prepare for the harvest, prepare for the coming of the Son of Man. You need to water that fig tree, so to say. One kind of preparation you're already involved in is the preparation for Christmas. Many of you have put your Christmas decorations up. A lot of you are preparing for travel in a few weeks. You're coordinating with family about what gifts to give who and not to give this gift to that person. And you might have heard something like, well, if my granddaughter asks for this, don't give it to her because I'm giving it to her, or she's giving it to her. You know how it goes. It gets complicated. It takes a lot of preparation. I'm sweating thinking about it because we're doing that at our house too. But you also need to prepare for the coming of Christ. It's not something we talk about, is it, much? Is it preparing for Christ? We just expect Christ to drop out of the sky and land in the manger in our hearts and in our minds. But this passage is a reminder that we have to prepare for Christ's coming. We must always be growing, always finding nourishment in worship and in prayer and in silence and practicing spiritual disciplines. And it may just be that despite how special this season is and how joyous it can be, some of the cultural realities of this season are that which distracts us from preparing for Christ the most. If you get stressed out and anxious about buying gifts and decorating your house and making this Christmas event and that Christmas event and that Christmas event and this Christmas event, then how can you prepare for the coming of Christ? You got to keep your head up, folks. Keep your head up looking for Christ. Keep your eyes on the fig tree. And that's the final challenge. Keep your eye on the fig tree. And I'll even go one step further. Become the fig tree to somebody else. There are people looking for signs of hope that can't find it. There are people who are in such pain and such hopelessness, they haven't found the fig tree. But that might be where you come into play. That might be where Jesus works through you and makes you that bloom or that starting fruit on the fig tree, even in the midst of these winter months. I told you I'd get back to the weather outside. Pretty warm, isn't it? It's beginning to look a lot like, no, it's not. Knowing North Carolina weather, it probably will again in a day or two. That's just how it works. But you know that in the wintertime, you've seen this before, if we ever get a string of 60-degree days and it's maybe even a little rainy, what do the trees start doing? They start budding and blooming even in the midst of winter. That can happen in January or February if the weather is just right. And we kind of get a little nervous as we say, oh no, that's going to ruin my spring crop or something like that. Or that's going to, you know, the plants won't bloom in the spring as they're supposed to if they start budding now. I would say, and I would encourage you to be the bloom that happens in the midst of winter, even though it doesn't seem like it should be there. For those who are in the midst of winter and the doom and the cold and who can't find hope, you may need to be that strange streak of warm weather, that strange streak of blooming that gives someone hope. That would be my challenge for you today. That would be a way to take God's call seriously, to take Jesus' call seriously, to be the fig tree, not just to look at it so that you can prepare your heart, but to be that glimpse of hope for someone who needs it most. I challenge you as individuals to be that glimpse of hope. And First Baptist Church, let's continue to think about how as a church family and our collective resources, we can be the fig tree that the world is so desperately looking for. Let's pray together.